Welcome to the Spirit Diaries podcast.
My name is Robert.
And my name is Birdie. And we are your hosts.
Who are weird?
Yeah, that's true. So for those of you just joining us, welcome to the podcast. We share all things spooky, including stories of us both growing up with ghosts, living in haunted houses and going on scary adventures. For those of you listening, Robert is miming each of these things, and now he's being a mime. If you want a video portion with your podcast, go over to youtube.com/spirit diaries or listen to our podcast on Spotify, which now has a video option available.
Do it now.
We want to say a special thank you to our patrons, but a big special thank you to Chemically Feline, who is a Fae-level patron.
Woo!
And she is so cool that anytime she does smoke cleansing, she never sets off her fire alarms like a certain someone always does.
Every time. Every single time. All of them at the same time.
Every tarot reading, there is a fire alarm going off. I just want to let you all know. Every time. And all of our neighbors, I can see them go whoo, out their blinds and look at me.
Just waiting for a fire truck to show up.
We don't have fire trucks.
I mean, they'll show up. They'll just charge us.
Our fire trucks belong to a fire truck mafia, which means if you do not pay them large amounts of money, if your house burns, they will not come. And this was actually proven because one of our neighbors burnt half of their house down. And guess who didn't come? The fire department, because he did not pay his mafia fees.
It sounds like a preschool gang. Fire truck mafia, yo.
We also don't pay the fire truck mafia because that's a scam.
Just throw water at it. It'll be fine. I've got a hose.
Right. Okay. That is my whole thing. If our house catches on fire, there is a hose.
Just grab an animal under each arm and just run. Leave the house. Everything else is fine.
Yeah, that's my plan. And it's going to smell really good because of our candles and our incense. So if our house catches on fire, it should smell like sweet grass and roses.
It'll be glorious.
And lavender. Do you think it would actually smell a little bit good?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Like for a brief moment when it's not like lead-based paint or something that's burning.
Our house does not have lead-based paint.
I'm joking.
But I would love to buy an old enough house that does have lead-based paint.
Yay, asbestos.
No, honestly, if you guys have been following us for a while, we legitimately would absolutely love to buy one of these decrepit mansions and restore it either for ourselves to live in or for you all to come visit in. We would love to save a building. And that is something on my life checklist that I really want to do.
One day. We'll buy that creepy old mansion that has photos that eyes move and restore it.
Because for some reason, despite never wanting to live in a haunted house, now that we finally live in a house that's not haunted, I kind of want to live again in a haunted house.
It's like one of those, like, you never learn your lesson type of things.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, living in a haunted house sucks. Don't get me wrong. But I would love to live in a happily haunted house.
A house that's not a vortex of
doom.
Hellish monsters.
Yeah. Like a place that has a Thorfinn.
We're not doing this again. Nope.
So funny. So, most recently, Robert just had a paranormal experience. Not me, Robert.
And it was like, as of recording this, like 2 days ago.
He's still emotionally scarred.
It was weird.
So I love this. I love that it's just not me having paranormal experiences. Robert is our team normie. And
which says something.
And he has had an experience. And I do want to say before you share this that everybody can have a paranormal experience. You do not have to be a medium to have a paranormal experience. You do not have to be a medium if you see a spirit. I talk to a lot of people who have paranormal activity going on in their lives, and a lot of questions I get is, oh no, I experienced something anomalous. I think I seen a ghost. Does this mean that I am now a medium and I'm going to be inundated by these things? No. So for me, a medium is somebody who sees spirits on the regular, not just in one location. So it's different if your house is haunted, like, or if you have an experience in a location. Right. Yeah, that does not mean you're a medium. You're still safe.
Relatively.
It's okay. It's okay. So yeah, Robert, share your story of what happened. I'm pulling up my sleeves. I'm getting so excited. Okay, share your story.
So I work a decent distance away from where we live, so I have to get up at the butt crack of dawn, and it is dark outside whenever I leave for work. So the day this happened, it was rainy. We had been having rainstorms for the last week, pretty much every single day. So it was now like nasty and rainy outside. And I back out of our driveway. First I open up the garage and then I start backing out of our driveway, and a dog runs across the driveway. So like that, I seen it run across the rear view camera. So instantly I was like, oh, and I slammed on the brakes. Like, I don't want to hit somebody's dog. I mean, dogs run rampant in our neighborhood. Just for some reason, people don't obey laws. So I slowly start backing up. I look around for the dog. Of course, the dog's gone. It's dark. I expect it ran behind someone else's house. So I back out slowly, and then I start leaving our neighborhood. And I get to our neighborhood, and I start heading toward the main road down another road that we're on. And as I'm going around a curve to get to the main road, I go around the curve, and then all of a sudden, there is a girl walking along the road in like the emergency lane, like the curve part of the road. And instantly, like, it was weird because, you know, when you go around a curve, like, your headlights kind of hit everything. Well, the headlights went past where she was, and then I saw her. So it was like, the headlights didn't pass over her. Like, I passed that area. There's nothing there. And then, like, my eyes just glanced back, and she was there. And it was super jarring, and I remember jumping, and like for some reason, like this person being there just was not right. It was super strange. I never saw her face because as I was pulling up to the stop sign, she was rounding the corner and started walking down the main road. There's no houses on that road. It's just road. It's two lanes and a median and then two lanes. So it's kind of like a highway.
It's pretty desolate.
It is very desolate, especially at that part.
And it's not something people frequently walk down. We'll see people occasionally walking down this road, but it is seldom. It is not pedestrian friendly.
No, it's very steep. There's a lot of inclines and declines. So, I mean, I've seen people try to ride bikes up it and they end up getting off the bike and walking because they can't get up the hill.
Yeah.
So it is very desolate. And in this area, there are no trees or anything. So it was just like an open spot. And I remember vivid detail, like shoulder length blonde hair, a black tank top with polka dots that were different colors, jeans, and she was barefoot. And that struck me weird because it was raining for one. It was 37 degrees outside that morning because it was like 6:30-ish, 7 o'clock in the morning, and the sun had not come up yet. And like for some reason something in my gut just was like, oh fuck,
alarms,
like, yeah, like alarms in your head going off, like there's something not okay, this is not okay. And it was weird because she moved super smooth. Like, it wasn't like someone walks and they turn and walk. It was like very smooth walking. And you know, when someone's walking barefoot on asphalt, it's like you're in the rocky part of like the emergency lane. You're stepping on rocks.
You're hobbling a little bit. It's not comfortable. Yeah, yeah.
And she was just walking. And I stopped at the stop sign and there was a car that was coming and it was probably like 300, 400 yards out. And I was just like, usually I would wait for something like that just because it's dark. And I was like, nope. And I went towards the median. I was like, I'm not waiting. And I just still heart pumping. And I look back because I'm waiting on the other side traffic. And as this is happening, the car that was coming continues past behind me. And I can see fully behind me where she was, and she was just gone.
And there is nowhere on this road to go.
No.
I mean, if she sprinted, she could make way for trees. But that would be...
It would take like a minute to get to them.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah,
I mean,
of running.
And I'm talking about like hardcore
yes.
sprinting as hard as you can go. And even then, like, that's not a place that's really open
mm-hmm.
For the public or safe to go into.
Yeah.
So,
it was freaky. And it's not... I didn't just look in the rearview mirror because at first I looked in the rearview mirror because I was like, I don't know why this girl's walking in the rain in 37 degree weather with no shoes on. And it was kind of like that, like, oh crap, like what if something's wrong? And like, I like went to check and I looked in the rearview mirror and she wasn't there. So I was in the middle and I was stopped. So I turned around and looked behind me out of the rear view, the rear windshield, and she was just gone. There was no one there. And at this point, I'm like, fuck this. And I just go into the next lane and I'm taking off. And then I'm instantly like having my phone like, call Birdie, call Birdie.
And meanwhile, I'm at home and I'm just getting ready for the day. And I don't like my phone on ring because it's distracting. And when I go to work, I... don't ever want it on ring to interrupt work, so I don't typically have it, but I will check my phone occasionally just in case mm-hmm. you text or call. But I know how long it takes you to get to work, so I don't typically check my phone until that time arrives.
Right.
But I was sitting there and I was like, oh no, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I instantly got scared because I felt something with the car and with you, and I panicked because all as I felt is, uh-oh, car and Robert, car and Robert, mm-hmm. car and Robert. I went to turn my phone on because I just had this like sinking feeling that you were gonna call, and as soon as I went to turn my phone on, I had seen you had just called mm-hmm. and I had just missed your call. So of course I call you back and I'm like, hey, what's up? And you're like, oh my God, I think I just saw a ghost. And I was like, yes.
I'm like, no.
Well, and you were like, but she looked like a human. She looked like a human.
It was so strange. It was so vivid.
This is what spirits look like. Mm-hmm. And I feel like so many times, and thanks to the media, a lot of people think they're like these misty type translucent people. Mm-hmm. No, most spirits and most encounters of people who see spirits are very perfectly human-like.
Right.
And I am so happy every time you have a spirit encounter because I feel a little less alone.
Right.
And it's so selfish and I felt bad because you were very scared.
I was
freaking out. Really shaken.
It was definitely like a fight or flight situation. And I was just like, there were so many alarms of like, and I mean, to compare, I've seen things in the past. I mean, I've seen apparitions in the woods. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the first time it's ever happened. And it was a completely different feeling, which I think was crazy for me. Like, it was just, this is not okay. You need to run. And
yeah.
I've never had that feeling before. It was that definitely a fight or flight. And I'm usually a fight person.
You are a fight.
So for me to be like, this isn't okay, go. I just listened to it and I was like, all right.
Yeah. And like the investigator you are, as soon as you got to work, you started doing research on trying to find if somebody had passed away in that area. And you did find one case
of
a girl who was 22 and died within a quarter mile of that location on that main road.
She was hit by a car.
And was hit by a car. So could that be her? Perhaps. Could it be another spirit? Perhaps. What struck me instantly when you were telling me this, and when Robert called, he was like, I didn't know if I should stop. I seen her not wearing shoes and she was wearing a tank top, and I thought maybe she was in trouble. And you were talking to me about, like, I don't know if I should stop or not. You know, if I rolled down my window and be like, hey, are you okay? Am I gonna sound like a creep? Or I didn't know what to do. But you were telling me you had these like scared feelings of like something isn't right, something's unusual, and you had that like weird feeling that like you shouldn't stop. Always trust your instincts.
Yeah.
Always. So as soon as you told me that, like, you wanted to stop and help and you didn't see her face, and you just, like, had these, like, fear-type feelings surrounding her, often spirits shouldn't cause fear for no reason, especially if they're, like, unassuming. I instantly thought of hitchhiking spirits. Which I do just have to say, hitchhiking spirits were something I was so afraid of, because you know what I'm about to bring up, don't you?
Yes.
The Haunted Mansion.
Yep.
In the end, your little death buggy goes in front of the mirrors and a ghost is in the death buggy with you. And I was always so scared at that point, because I'm like, why is a ghost in there? I would always close my eyes because I'm like, I don't want to see the ghost. I don't want to see the hitchhiking ghost.
Fun fact, when I was researching hitchhiking ghosts for this episode, those three ghosts have names. And one of the questions on Google was, who are the hitchhiking ghosts? And it brought up the Haunted Mansion hitchhiking ghosts. And they all have names and they're like traveling vagabonds, and it was just, I was like, this is not what I'm looking for.
Yes, it is, and they're terrifying. Okay, Haunted Mansion stories for another day. So there is a common occurrence with people seeing what is commonly called hitchhiking spirits, and these people who have these experiences describe something so similar to you, which is so cool. This is so cool. And this is the part of the paranormal where personal experience is everything, because you had never heard of hitchhiking spirits.
No.
And I was explaining to you what hitchhiking spirits were, and you're like, what? No, what? And I even told you to start looking into it, and you're like, I can't find anything. And I was like, Google hitchhiking spirits. Like, it's so interesting, because this is yet another case of someone who had an experience and did not have these experiences prior or knowledge prior to create a hallucinogenic episode. So I love this. A lot of people say that it's frequently women or girls who are younger. Some people report them actually entering the car. And I do want to say, let's be mindful. If you have an experience like this, it could be a real person, okay? We should assume spirit lasts, and real people can be dangerous. So if this was a real girl, one of the best things we could do is offer her as much help that you feel safe with. So definitely call professionals. You do not have to let these people into your car if you do not want to. Okay, so just use common like knowledge when you do encounter something like this, and don't always assume it's a spirit. You know, perhaps it was somebody who did need help on the side of a road. Obviously, if there is a girl in 30 degree weather in rain, barefoot and in a tank top, I mean, there's a high chance that she's escaping quite a horrible situation that maybe she needed help in.
And that's why I stopped and looked behind me, because I was like, should this be someone who needs help? I just wanted to check to see like where they headed. Like, are they okay? And when I looked, there was nobody there. And it's like, so I stopped to look, because my gut at the same time of saying like, alarm, alarm, was like, make sure this person's okay. And they cease to exist.
Yeah. But we should always put our own safety first. Mm-hmm. Like, please be safe in these situations, especially many of these hitchhiking spirit situations happen at night or in lone remote locations. So yeah, if you are ever worried and it is a human, you know, you can call a professional to help even if you don't want to stop. So we want to be empathetic and try to be helpful if we can.
Yes.
If it is a human. Oddly enough, stories like this exist all around Appalachia.
Yay.
Which we're in. So I love this. I love this. I think it's so interesting. one of these stories that is very prominent exists in North Carolina with a ghost commonly referred to as Lydia. There are many cases of hitchhiking ghosts in Ohio and even in Amish country. There are Amish who experience hitchhiking ghosts with their buggies or even people who go into Uber, Amish people. They have reported seeing hitchhiking ghosts. So I think this is so interesting because this isn't just happening in places where people are familiar with the lore or familiar with the story. This is also happening in other areas of the United States where people don't have this access to the media or the stories, and they are still experiencing similar style of spirits. So cool.
But so creepy.
So the vanishing hitchhiker is when somebody in a vehicle meets a hitchhiker who then vanishes without plausible explanation away from a moving vehicle. Oddly enough, many people report that these hitchhiking spirits will make the motorist feel like they need to make contact with the person because of some unsettling detail. Like for you, she was not wearing shoes. She was not wearing appropriate clothing for the weather. And it was unsettling. It made you feel concerned.
Yeah.
And a lot of these stories have some strange detail like that. That makes the driver feel like
intervening.
They should stop. They want to help. But many people describe, just like you did, that very instinctual feeling of something isn't right here. So Jan Harold Bruvand wrote The Vanishing Hitchhiker in 1891, and it was a nonfiction story about this phenomena that traces as far back as the 1870s. Okay, get this, cars were first built in 1886.
So it's horse and buggy.
So a lot of these cases were happening to horse and buggies and any sort of traveling people. Like, this is just not a phenomena that has happened with cars. This is not a modern phenomena. This has been going on throughout the ages.
Right. Which is insane to think about because it's like, this isn't new. Like, this has been talked about for hundreds of years. And I mean, there are a lot of skeptics out there about this phenomenon. I think it's folklore or stories that are passed down, just freak people out. So a lot of them are dismissed as hearsay, folklore, or just hallucinations, which, I mean, is a scary thought that they think all of these people are having hallucinations while driving down the road.
Right. Okay. A lot of explanation for this is hallucination or, you know, driving late at night, you're tired, you need to take a break, you're hallucinating. Like, that can happen. It's happened to me. We recently were on a huge long road trip and I was so tired. I should not have been driving, but I started hallucinating a black pyramid in the center of the road. And that is when I realized I needed to pull over.
We pulled over and went to sleep. Rest stop time.
So, yes, hallucinations happen. Being exhausted driving happens. All of these are not cases like that.
Exactly. And to further that, people started looking into these cases and trying to explain that they're not just folklore, or trying to find proof to see if they were just stories that were passed around. So the first official study of vanishing hitchhikers was in 1942 by American anthropologists Richard Beardsley and Rosalie Hankey, who collected accounts in an attempt to analyze them. Over 79 accounts, over 60 locations across America were collected. And they actually discovered 4 distinct versions from it.
No way.
Yeah, they separated them out and took similarities and broke them down into 4 subcategories.
Bravo for anthropologists.
Right?
I loved that class.
So the 4 categories are, number 1, a hitchhiker gives an address to a residence only to be told that person has been dead for years by the people who live there once they arrive.
Oh, whoa. That's so scary.
That is a common occurrence for people, to where someone will get in, they'll give them an address, and then they'll disappear along the ride. They'll still show up and knock on the door, and they're like, this is the description of the person, and the people living there will be like, they've been dead for years. So that's one. The second is, hitchhiker is an old woman that prophesizes disaster before she ultimately disappears, and they realize that she wasn't a living person.
Ooh, this is like The Crone.
Mm-hmm. The third is, the hitchhiker is a girl at some place of entertainment and asks to be taken home, but when they pass by a cemetery, she asks them to stop the car so she can get out.
What?
Yeah, that's a common one. And sometimes in these cases, if she had borrowed like a jacket or something of the living person's, they will find it over a grave of a girl that is around that age.
I have read cases like this.
And then the fourth is, the hitchhiker is later identified as a local divinity. And that one is only in Hawaii that cases have been of that one.
So you're saying, like, in Hawaii, it's a local deity?
Mm-hmm. A Hawaiian deity that, like, kind of like a Good Samaritan thing, like, people who are, like, helping type of thing. Yeah.
So super interesting.
Further, another person was subcategorizing it even further from these 4. Ernest W. Bowman, author of Type and Motif Index of the Folktales of England and North America.
Oh, very prestigious.
Yes, in 1966. He actually broke these hitchhiker spirits into further categories, being A through J. So A being... for vanishing hitchhikers who reappear on anniversaries.
Well, that makes sense.
Right.
And oddly enough, I also did research into the one you saw, and she happened to die on a Friday night, and you had seen her on a Monday morning, if she was this case we found. Mm-hmm. Not saying she was, because we couldn't find any photographic evidence to validate your description with the case we found, but... that could be something.
It's interesting. Case B was for vanishing hitchhikers who leave items in vehicles, unless the item is in a pool of water, in which it is case C. So for case B, if they'll pick up someone and then an item that does not belong to the person who owns the car will be left behind, whether that be like a small flower or like a small token.
I love that.
Things like that. For subcategory D, it is for accounts of sinister old ladies who prophesize disasters.
Okay, so again, The Crone.
The Crone, exactly. For E, contains accounts of phantoms who are apparently sufficiently solid to engage in activities with the drivers, such as eating or drinking during their journey. So they'll share a cigarette with the person, or they'll eat something or drink something. And they're more of a like corporeal looking person and not like any indication that they're a spirit until they just disappear.
This is so interesting that they're interacting with a physical object. Mm-hmm. I've only experienced like true poltergeist activity caused by a spirit, I think, that I know was caused directly by a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I have one clear memory of something moving from a soldier spirit I had seen. Never like actually interacting.
Like,
and if
just
they're
normal.
Eating something, where would that go?
Right?
Like, that's, well, I'm serious. Like, part. Okay, you're drinking as a spirit. Where is it going?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a physical item.
But then that goes into play. Like, is it actually happening, or are they causing you to hallucinate that?
What?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't know. Continuing, subcategory F is for phantom parents who want to be taken to the sickbed of their dying children. So they ask to be taken to their children who are dying.
Oh, I have a story of this.
Do you?
I do. We will share it later in the podcast. Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's a hard one.
Oh, I have a story of this. Another time.
Okay. Subcategory G is for hitchhikers simply requesting a lift home. Like, you give them a dress, they'll get out, and then you just keep going.
How do you know that's not a spirit?
When they get out, they look back and there's no one there.
Hmm.
So they disappear after arriving at the place they asked to go to.
I see.
And then cases H and J are a category reserved exclusively for vanishing nuns, which is a surprisingly common variant, some of whom foretell the future.
What?
Right? I think the nun thing would creep me out more than anything. You see a nun on the side of a road? Like,
well, especially now, nuns are so not right? common.
That's not a common thing to just see in like a back alley side of the road. Like, hey, can I have a ride? And be like, no, thank you.
Wow.
I'm sorry, but I will call the police so they can give you a ride. But I'm not opening my car.
That's really, really, really scary, actually. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So those are the subcategories broken further. And it's just... I like to see like as time progresses, they slowly are like expanding them wider and wider to even more detail about the different types. So what do you think?
I love this. I love that anthropologists are getting in on this. I love that we're categorizing this. I love that we're quantifying and really taking into account personal experiences, because this is the one thing about the paranormal that we have the ability to record. Mm-hmm. We don't have scientific equipment that can prove this yet. We don't have quite a great way to really validate a lot mm-hmm. of this stuff, but this is how we can do it, is by quantifying personal experiences. And I think this is what all these, you know, ghost hunting shows mm-hmm. are all trying to do. We are all trying to document our personal experiences, because this is where I feel like we can start to figure out the truth and right. categorize things and really start to figure out what areas these are happening mm-hmm. in, what time periods, what are the circumstances, and really start to quantify phenomena that we can't explain
to the best of our ability. It's like you can't recreate a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So all you have is the first person account.
Right. How do you recreate what you experienced?
Exactly.
Or what any of these people have experienced.
Exactly. And I don't want to recreate it.
What does it make you feel after learning that this is such a common phenomenon? Because I know when I was telling you after you called me, you were like, what? What? Like, how do you feel now knowing this is so common?
I felt a lot more normal. And I mean, for me, it was like, it was freaky, but I didn't feel like strange because of who we are.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I've experienced paranormal stuff my whole life. You've experienced stuff your whole life. I can count on one hand how many times I've actually seen something like mm-hmm. physically that looked human that was like, oh shit. So it's like when this happened, it was like, this is terrifying, but also super gratifying after the fact, because it's like, why wasn't I holding a camera? It's like, I'm getting a freaking dash cam. Like,
well, and what's so interesting is if you did have a camera, would it have been captured?
Exactly. If I did have a camera, I would have turned around and driven back down the road to see if there was anyone there.
Yeah.
Because data over feelings.
And that is what we have for you. If you've seen a hitchhiking ghost, let us know. Tell us all about it. You can actually share your stories mm-hmm. on this podcast if you'd like. If you have a story that you'd like to share, email us at helpmespiritdiaries@gmail.com. We also do take private cases. So if you are experiencing something that you would help with, and if we may be able to help, we also take that too. So same email address, helpmespiritdiaries, and we will try to get back to you guys. But yeah, let us know what you think. And thank you for listening to this episode. I was so excited when you called with your experience, because I was like, at the end of Robert freaking out, I was like, hey, guess what? This is going to be a really good podcast episode.
She said that. And I was like, that's not comforting, but I know.
I was like, this is great to talk about. Like, what are the chances?
This is content.
I just thought, as soon as he called me, I was like, yes. I felt so bad, but I tried to cheer mm-hmm. up these moments that are really scary by being like, hey, this could be great, but thank you for listening. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.